Good morning to you, Dick Fine.
We all know producers run the show, guys. They're in control of our microphones. They're in control of all the sound effects, so they can shut us up whenever they want to.
Yeah, Dick, you would absolutely love where we are at the moment. We're about 6 hours north of Sydney by car, just a quick hour flight, but we're at a place called the Bonville Golf Course. You've got to Google it, Dick. It's like it's just so magnificent. I know you do love your golf, that you would love it here. It's like a heaven. We've got an Australian Ladies Classic here over the next 4 days, and we've got 140 golfers from 31 different countries. There's a few Americans here as well, Dick.
Beautiful. I heard you talking about Laura Davies. I mean, there was nobody longer on the LPGA Tour, about 15 years ago than Laura Davies. I think she set some distance records at one point, so it's great to hear that she's back healthy and playing.
Yeah, she's such a great... I mean, every sport needs characters, and particularly sometimes golf can be a bit bland, both on the male and the female side, but there's nothing bland about Laura. She's a real great character, larger-than-life
right.
character, so it's good to have her here. Mate, the NBA All-Stars game, geez, there's not a lot of defense played in that game, is there?
No, there's not, and I think it all... Whether you like or don't like the NBA All-Star game, all depends on what your expectations of it are going in. If you expect to see a regular NBA game where defense is played, where there's, you know, hard competition on both sides, you're going to be disappointed. That's just not what it is. That's not what it's kind of devolved into. What it's devolved into is a spectacle, a showcase of the great talent that these players have, that these players are going to be attempting shots that they would not normally attempt in games. They'll be attempting, you know, bounce the ball off the ground like Steph Curry did, high into the air so Giannis can go up with one hand and slam it. I mean, you're going to see things that you don't ordinarily get to see in a regular NBA game. So if you have that expectation that you're just going to go see a spectacle and have fun, it was a very entertaining 2 hours of basketball.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about, Dick, the All-Stars concept. I think people have come to be aware of that now. But Ben Simmons, Aussie Ben.
Got about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
What, did you get 12 minutes of time?
First Australian to participate in the All-Stars?
Yeah, and certainly much deserved. He is absolutely an All-Star. He doesn't have the type of great athleticism that the guys that are going to really shine in the All-Star game have. For example, you know, the Giannis Antetokounmpos. I mean, those are the guys that are going to really show out in the All-Star game because they're going to get up there and throw down the nasty dunks and, you know, the versatile guys that can step out and hit 30-foot three-pointers. I mean, those are the guys that are going to really show up in the All-Star game and really be noticed. Ben is just a spectacular, solid basketball player. He really doesn't do anything that makes you turn your head. You're not going to see him on a lot of SportsCenter highlights, but game in and game out, he's going to give you 15 points. He's going to give you 8 rebounds. He's going to give you 7 assists. He's really going to turn the ball over. He's just going to play winning basketball for you, and he's playing on a team right now, guys, that with the moves that they have made, they have got a great shot to make it all the way to the championship and play against Golden State.
Dick, would Ben be in the top 20 best players in the league? Top 10?
I think right there. I think that's fair. I wouldn't put him in the top 10 yet, but yeah, I think he would absolutely be in the argument somewhere in that 15 to 20 range. I think that's completely fair.
As far as the NBA, that trade period, is it settled down now, Dick? There was lots of talk about players going other places, including LA maybe for Ben Simmons, but that's all died down now?
Yeah, the trade deadline has come and gone. The number one player obviously being bandied about was Anthony Davis, and it looks like he's not going to go anywhere until the end of the season, but it's been a disaster in New Orleans. I mean, I mentioned a couple weeks ago that I didn't understand why New Orleans wasn't trading him. He doesn't want to play there. So New Orleans was getting a king's ransom, pardon the pun. They were getting LeBron's ransom from LeBron's team. Basically, LeBron and the brass of the Lakers was willing to basically trade away every player on the team except for LeBron to bring in Anthony Davis, and New Orleans still said no. Well, my question is, how is the price tag for Davis going to go up as we go forward? It's only going to go down. So I do not understand why New Orleans didn't trade him, and I don't think that the brass can understand why New Orleans traded him either, because what happened right after the trade deadline? General manager Del Demps was fired. He did not do what the ownership probably wanted him to do there, and it cost him his job. And so now Anthony Davis is going to be in and out of the lineup. You know, he's going to walk out of games with a little nick here and a little injury there, like he did last week. He came out of the game with a shoulder injury. We don't know if it's a legitimate injury or not, or if New Orleans just wants to pull him off the floor and not play him so he stays healthy for the rest of the season so they can trade him in the offseason.
Yeah, it's a sure way to lose your job if you're not following the owner's instructions. But what about Antonio Brown from the Steelers, Dick? He wants to be traded. Where is he likely to head?
Well, that's a great question, guys. And whoever he lands, if he lands on a team, for example, like the Indianapolis Colts, which is a team that would really benefit from him. And by the way, that would really increase the value of the tip I gave you on Super Bowl Sunday for next year's Super Bowl at 20-1. Boy, if they land Antonio Brown, that number is going to crash down to about 10-1. There, of course, I think the San Francisco 49ers have a very reasonable opportunity to get him. The question is, how much is a guy going to be worth if he's already demanded the trade? I mean, that obviously lessens his value in the trade market. But there's going to be numerous teams out there buying for him. So there's a market for Antonio Brown, which should keep that value. At the very least, a second and a third round draft pick, something to that effect. But Antonio Brown can instantly change an offense, as long as the offense is willing to run through Antonio Brown. I mean, that's really the only problem with Antonio Brown. He's got to get his touches. He has got to get the ball thrown to him 150 times or more every single year, or what does he do? He picks up Gatorade bottles and throws them onto the field. He yells at his coaches. I mean, he is the dictionary definition of an NFL diva. And so you got to know what you're trading for and know what you're dealing with, and make sure he's happy or it's going to blow up in your face.
Fantastic, Dick, because Risty, one of our listeners, texted in regarding that trade, so he wanted to know about Antonio Brown, and you've explained it wonderful to you, mate. We'll go back to practicing our putting, mate, for the Pro-Am about to kick off in about 2 hours' time, okay? Any advice?
Oh, I can't give you any advice for putting. It's been, we had a foot of snow here in Seattle, which is highly unusual. So the only putting I've been doing is in my indoor facility down the road. I haven't been able to swing a golf club outside for about a month now. So I don't think I can give you any advice, and I wish I was down with you and seeing the sunshine and the golf.
Yeah, well, we'd love to have you back again, mate. Dick, thanks so much for that. We'll talk again next week.
See you, guys.